The word today is doubting. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible Teacher Douglas Schrader. When we're told something that seems unlikely, we immediately calculate in our mind whether we believe it or doubt it. Yet, we can be wrong about our doubts. Jesus took great care in the days following his resurrection to address the skepticism of the disciples. We learn to trust God and the gospel accounts from what Christ says about doubt. Here to consider this topic further is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Doubting.
From time to time, all of us have moments of doubt, of skepticism. Someone tells us about something that supposedly happened, or they tell us something that they claim is the truth, and we just simply don't believe them. Usually, we are looking for more evidence than just words. The same thing happened to Thomas, one of the apostles of Jesus, when he was told by the others, in fact, these were eyewitnesses who were telling him, and he didn't believe them. The event is recorded in John chapter 20, starting at verse 24. Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the apostles when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed." Whenever we hear something that sounds fantastic, that sounds incredible, we have to make a choice. Are we going to believe it, or are we going to doubt it? That's what happened with Thomas. He heard something that just seemed so fantastic, that Jesus, their teacher, their master, was alive from the dead again. You know, he was confronted with a choice he had to make in that moment. Would he believe it, or would he doubt it? Would he be a skeptic, or would he have faith? Well, he chose doubt. He did not remotely believe the story that was told to him. And part of it was because the account was remote. That is, it was not right in front of him. He didn't have the evidence right in front of him. God was doing something in the background with the resurrection of Jesus. Thomas was not privy to it yet. He didn't see it himself. He didn't experience it. And because it was remote, that is, taking place in a different location, he didn't buy into it. We're going to think about the way that God works sometimes remotely. That is, there's times when he works behind the scenes, and we don't really see it right in front of us. So we don't have absolute evidence before our eyes. Will we believe what God tells us? That's the real test of faith. And that's what I'd like for you to understand today, is that faith is putting our assurance and confidence in the Lord. But he's not always just going to put everything right in front of us. He's not going to prove himself all the time. He's looking for our trust. He is trying to see if we will believe the report that has been given us. So when people come and they testify and share about Jesus Christ, this is the test. Are you going to accept and receive the message, or are you going to be like Thomas and be skeptical and think there's only a remote chance or no chance that can happen? You know, it's interesting how we put our faith in certain remote things. For example, a television might have a remote control, and it's separated from the TV, and we understand that it can control the TV even though it's not attached to the TV. There is an invisible force, an infrared signal that is running in order to control the TV. We put our faith and trust often in computers that have computer servers, entire like warehouses of computers that are running and operating software and connecting us on the internet. And we put our faith and trust in these things, even though none of this is in our home. All we have is just this one computer or a laptop or whatever, a phone that we're connecting with. And we put terrific trust in all of these systems that are not before our eyes. Well, in the same way, God sometimes works remotely. He will do things where he is not seen, not able to be, you know, comprehended by our eyes, and yet he is doing things in the background. You know, I have to say that when it comes to faith and trust, I want to make a statement here about what I feel is worth putting trust in. There are some things humans believe that I feel are not very sensible. For instance, evolutionary theory, I feel, is very weak. I don't believe it's supported well by science at all. I don't think that there's many good reasons for an individual to believe that life just spontaneously came from non-life. I don't think there's much good credible science to demonstrate that a single-celled organism just popped into existence without any design, without any creator. And then, through accident and no direction, no planning, just slowly morphed over hundreds of millions of years into more successful and more complex creatures until it finally resulted in humans? I'm sorry. I have doubt about that. I don't believe it. I think it's far more credible that we see fantastic design, not only in ourselves, but everywhere we look in creation, that there is a God who created this universe with his fantastic power and intellect. I also don't believe in aliens. The idea that there's these beings out there in outer space, these creatures that evolved on other planets, I don't think it's out there. I have doubt. That would have to be proven to me before I'd believe that. I don't think it's very likely. The conditions on Earth are so extreme. There's so many hundreds of things that all have to be absolutely perfect for life that it doesn't seem like it would happen elsewhere. So I think the odds, the statistics, I think, are really against that event taking place. As far as the resurrection of Jesus, I have faith in this. I put my trust in this, partly because we have eyewitnesses who have seen the resurrection of Jesus and were willing to lay down their lives rather than deny this. I think it makes perfect sense that if there is a God who created this world and created humans, if he wanted to redeem us from our sin, wanted to save us from destruction, that he would send his son in order to pay the price and raise him again from the dead. This seems logical to me. Now, I cannot say that I have the physical evidence right in front of me. We have the reports from the eyewitnesses of this event, and you have to make up your mind. Do you believe it? Or don't you believe it? Now, some people would choose to be like Thomas. Well, I won't believe it unless I can see it for myself. I think this is one of the reasons why Jesus had this incident take place. Thomas was not there. He didn't believe the report of the eyewitnesses, and Jesus appears for him specifically to show him how wrong he was. There's a certain amount of sinful skepticism. There's a certain degree of doubt that can come. And we have to simply choose to accept the report of the eyewitnesses. This is why the Gospels were written. As John says, in fact, the very next words that John says in chapter 20, verse 30 is, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. There's a lot riding on this question of whether Jesus is the Son of God, whether Jesus rose again from the dead, whether he can give us eternal life. There's a lot riding on it. Your entire future is dependent on whether you will accept the testimony of the writers of the gospel. They put their lives on the line in order to convince you that this is real, that this is legitimate. I hope that you will not be like Thomas. Thomas was skeptical. Thomas had doubt. And like we said, doubts come to all of us, but we have to make the choice to believe, even though we won't have 100% evidence put right before us. What I should say is, we won't have 100% of the evidence now. We will have 100% of the evidence in the future. We have to wait for it. We will have a resurrection from the dead. We will see the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified state. We will exist in heavenly bliss. So we may not have it now, but we will have to wait for it, and it will be forthcoming. It's wonderful when we don't lean unto our own understanding, as Proverbs 3 says, but trust in the Lord. I hope that you will make the decision to receive the testimony of the gospel writers that Jesus is raised from the dead, and that you won't give in to your skepticism, but make the choice to trust in our Lord Jesus Christ and receive the gift of salvation in his name.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's The Word Today. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.